This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is October 17th right now, and we have a big episode today, we think. Sometimes it's hard to judge, but this one definitely seems like a lot of information because we're going to be talking about P. Diddy and everything going on with him. We're also going to go over his life history to an extent for those, you know, like we all know who he is, but I couldn't tell you that much about his childhood or anything like that until we did some research, so we'll get into all of that and all of the latest updates with his, I don't even know what you call it.
Never-ending legal dramas, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of everything. Racketeering, sex trafficking, forced prostitution, all these things. It's actually really insane that this all happened. So we'll get into that. We also know that the Delphi trial started as of recording time this week. Well, they did jury selection and it's going to officially start tomorrow, our time. We are going to do weekly updates on Patreon and then we'll release the whole thing as like a regular episode or a bonus episode as well. Just because our regular episodes, they come out a week after we record them. So the information, like it'd already be everywhere by then. So, I mean, if anything big and significant happens or something crazy, we could talk about it in a regular episode. But Patreon episodes come out, record them on Thursday, and I put them out Friday morning. So the next day, so they're more timely. So we'll talk about everything weekly on there, and then we will still release everything to everyone who is not on Patreon as well. So, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see as the trial gets underway. It's in the starting stages this week with jury selection, but hopefully we'll have some big updates soon.
Yeah, and we'll definitely post them on Instagram. So if you don't know where to like look for updates, because following this trial is a little different because the reporters can only have handwritten notes. Like there's no live tweeting, no recording, no cameras, nothing. It's hard to find like actual, not that it's hard to find, but there's so many other people talking about this case who aren't the reporters that are actually there that sometimes it's hard to find just like the actual information. I've found a bunch of reporters over the years that I know are local, I know are there, and I have Twitter alerts on for all of them. So I will share that information on Instagram when it comes out. It's pretty much going to be like a lunchtime break where reporters put stuff out, and then at the end of the day. So that is what we've got. So make sure you're following us too.
The other thing we've done too is on Instagram, we've started a highlight we'll do it for each week of the trial. We'll break them up. So there'll be four or five highlights. Just so if you haven't been able to keep up with week one, you don't have to go. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just easier to break it up into chunks for people to follow, we think. So, and on there too, we've linked reporters that do cover the trial. So if you're wondering where you can find out more information, go and check out the highlights on the Instagram.
Yes, definitely. All right, so it feels weird, but we're just going to get like right into it so that we're not recording for hours and hours and hours. So we're going to go back in time, and we're going to start with the beginning of his life. Sean John Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, P. Diddy, his various names that he likes to change. He was born on November 4th, 1969, and he was born in Harlem, New York, but he was raised in Mount Vernon, New York, which is actually kind of close to where I live. His mother is Janice Combs, and her maiden name is Smalls, and his father was Melvin Earl Combs. Melvin served in the U.S. Air Force, and Janice worked as a model and teacher's assistant. He also had a sister named Keisha. When Sean was 2 years old, Melvin was shot dead while sitting in his car on Central Park West in New York City. It's believed that Melvin was murdered during a drug transaction after he was misidentified as an informant. Melvin had been associating with drug trafficker Frank Lucas at the time. Frank Lucas would later inspire the film American Gangster.
Being that my father, he was killed when I was 3 years old, I don't have like a lot of memories of my father. They say, you can't miss something you never had. So that's only a little ways right, there's definitely been times as I've gotten older that I've missed my father and, his presence not being there, having somebody not to ask like manly advice, and just things that you would ask your father, also things that you would celebrate with him, that would make him proud, My father was a hustler, He was a drug dealer, he was a hustler. So I learned early in life that there was only two ways out of that dead end jail. Made me work that even harder. So sometimes you can't just answer why, things happen. But I definitely think the route that I went on, staying out the streets and, hitting my books and trying to be somebody. I think he played a role in that. I think that even if we don't know our parents, we still have their DNA in us. We have their genes. I have this hustler's mentality, this hustler's spirit, his drive, his determination. His swag. He's gonna be on my mind a lot today. My father's name was Melvin Combs, and I'm Melvin's son, Sean Combs.
Keisha and Sean would be raised by Janice as a single mother, and it was said that they lived through poverty. Sean spoke in an article with Complex about his childhood, and a quote from it says, "I tell this story, people think it's a joke. I grew up in Harlem, my aunt would babysit me, and I would get babysat in Patterson Projects. One day we woke up and there were so many roaches on my face, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to own something and be able to take care of my family. I don't want to live in these conditions no more." He was raised Catholic. He attended Mount St. Michael Academy, which was an all-boys Catholic school, and he graduated from there in 1987. He went on to study business at Howard University, but left after his second year. Sean has said that he was given the nickname Puff as a child because he would huff and puff when he was angry, which I actually think is cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
I hate him, but it's a cute name. This is relevant because for a while, Sean was known as Puff. As I mentioned earlier, he has a lot of stage names, alter ego names. He's gone by Puffy, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Diddy. And I hardly remember this, but Love and Brother Love.
I feel like Brother Love and Love are the most recent because he still like signs off his Instagram posts with those.
It's like, get over yourself.
I feel like by that stage, everyone was over him and his antics, so no one really cared.
Yeah.
And just to add, we do call him Sean in this episode just because I guess that's his birth name and it's just the easiest and most least ridiculous name to call him by, I guess.
Yeah. He doesn't get to have nicknames anymore. He's just
Sean. Doesn't get a choice.
So Sean got into the music industry in 1990. He began working as an intern at Uptown Records in New York. The label had been founded by Andre Harrell, and he was promoted to talent director at Uptown, and he helped develop Mary J. Blige. Sean had a reputation for throwing huge parties, sometimes with up to 1,000 people attending.
Rock, we be singing, the ladies be nice. Hey, yo, everybody, make sure your breath is fresh. And drunk up, make sure you lotioned up.
Here's a club.
You know what I'm saying? If you're smoking weed, get the Listerine strips. Please be respectful. Ladies, if they don't want to dance, don't let that hold you back, because this whole thing's a pop. Put that Donnell Jones, come on. Gang, 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 get to the dance floor. Yeah, love, love, love.
Usher also lived with Sean for a year in New York City when he was only 13 years old, which I know a lot of people have been talking about online because yikes. Hi, peep. And Usher has since said that Sean's lifestyle was pretty wild.
I moved to New York City and I lived with Sean Puffy Combs for a year.
That's the crazy thing. Now, that was L.A. Reid's idea, right? We're sending you over to something called Puffy Flavor Camp.
There you go.
To learn
Flavor
some
Camp.
Yeah,
Flavor
that's
camp.
What it was called. And you're going to go to Puff Daddy's.
He's
gonna
in the 90s. Do you understand what that's like?
Puffy's place was like just filled with chicks and orgying like nonstop, right?
No, not really. Hey, it was curious. I got a chance to see some things.
Yeah, but you were 13. What were you seeing?
I went there to see the lifestyle.
Right.
And I saw it. And it was. But I don't know if I could indulge and understand what I was even looking at. It was pretty wild. It was,
so nobody tried to, you know, some woman didn't come along.
I didn't say that. What I did say is that there were very curious things taking place.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't necessarily understand it.
Uh-huh.
Biggie Smalls was there.
Lil' Kim, Craig Mack.
All these people are hanging around.
Faith Evans. Jodeci, Mary
okay?
J. Blige. They didn't know nothing about this shit.
Oh.
I was having a good time, you know what I mean?
Does he have you doing any chores? Are you doing dishes at all? I mean, to keep you humble somewhat? Or are you just like, can you stay up till 4 in the morning with them and party?
I mean, I could. I actually stayed up longer than them.
Do you have money? What's going on?
I mean, I had like per diem.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I had like a living life. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
14 years old. You're a dad now. Would you ever send your kid to Puffy Camp?
Hell no.
See?
One event to note is that Sean promoted a fundraiser for AIDS, which was held in 1991 at the City College of New York's gymnasium. The event was oversold and a stampede occurred, and 9 people actually died as a result. Wild for an AIDS fundraiser.
Yeah, I know.
Sean got fired from Uptown in 1993. In an interview with Oprah, he spoke about the reasoning for that. He said, I was very passionate and I didn't understand protocol or workplace politics, so I got fired because there can't be 2 kings in 1 castle. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to Andre, but I was fighting so hard. He wanted to be more diplomatic to make sure everybody felt involved. Getting fired was one of the best things that could have happened to me. After he was fired, he established his own label, Bad Boy Records. The label became a joint venture with Arista Records. Sean took Christopher Wallace, aka Notorious B.I.G., with him to the new label from Uptown. Other acts that would be associated with the label over the years include Usher, Mary J. Blige, Lil' Kim, TLC, Mariah Carey, Boyz II Men, and Aretha Franklin. So a lot of big names.
Mm.
Sean released his first commercial vocal rap work in 1996 under the name Puff Daddy. His debut single, Can't Nobody Hold Me Down, spent 28 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, peaking at number 1. He had a successful music career. His song I'll Be Missing You was the first rap song to debut at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Over the years, Sean won 3 Grammys. Actually, when one of my family cats passed away growing up, he was a very fat orange cat, silly guy. We made like a kind of funny slideshow of him, and the song was I'll Be Missing You. His name was Tiggle, R.I.P. In 2001, Sean changed his stage name from Puff Daddy to P. Diddy. He also began acting around this time. He appeared as a drug dealer in the film Made, and he also starred in Monsters Ball with Halle Berry. In 2002, Sean was listed by Fortune magazine at number 12 in their top 40 entrepreneurs under 40. He changed his name again in 2005 to Diddy. On November 5th, 2017, Sean announced that he would be going by the name Love, stating, "My new name is Love, aka Brother Love." 2 days later, though, he told the press he'd been joking, but on January 3rd, 2018, he announced on Jimmy Kimmel Live that he changed his mind again and that he would be using the new name after all. I'd love to know, like, why? Like, what is this coming from? Why do you feel the need to be like, new me? Again,
new name.
Just like, what was the thinking behind that? I'm sure his team and all the branding people were like, are you kidding me? All the merch?
So my new name is Love, aka Brother Love.
Everyone loves Love. So now I'm to refer to you as Love?
Yes.
Love Combs.
No, just Love.
Just Love.
Just Love.
Okay, all right. Well, as Love it's going to be.
Just say it.
And so then I can, if I call you, I'll go, hello, Love.
Hello? Is this Jimmy?
This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
In 2017, Forbes estimated that Sean had earned $130 million in the prior year, which ranked him at number one among entertainers. I do feel like even all this sounds monotonous, it's important because it shows just how much like wealth and power he really had.
That's why because there was heaps of other shit that I didn't include. I just kind of included the stuff that shows, and he had such a varied business life too.
Yeah. So jumping ahead a little bit, by 2022, his net worth was estimated to be US $1 billion. Aside from making music and acting, he also dabbled in fashion. He started his own clothing line in 1998 called Sean John. He also created a men's perfume line called I Am King. He also owned restaurants at one point, and he worked to develop Ciroc vodka and was given a 50% share of profits. In June 2023, after Ciroc was acquired by Diageo, they ended their partnership with Sean for refusing to acknowledge or honor his commitments. He also worked with Mark Wahlberg in 2015 to purchase a majority holding in Aqua Hydrate, which is a drink for athletes. Never fucking heard of it.
I don't even know if it's a thing still, but anyway.
Sean also has a major stake in Revolt TV, which is a TV network with a film production branch. In 2019, he invested in PlayVS, which provides infrastructure for competitive gaming in U.S. high schools. So he's really dabbled in everything, it seems like. He's got money coming from so many different things.
He was very much, despite what has happened now, he was a very successful entrepreneur. Like, I'm not, like in his early life, he was a very successful man. He essentially became a billionaire from poverty. He was, you know, seems to have a very good business acumen. I guess a lot of that might have come from threats and things like that, which we'll get into. But he was at one point a very successful businessman.
Yeah, it seems like he invested a lot of his money and made more money from doing that. So in terms of Sean's family life, he is a father to 7 children with 4 different women. I knew he had kids, but I didn't know he had that many kids.
Yeah.
His first biological son is Justin Dior Combs. He was born in 1993 to fashion designer Misa Hilton. Sean had an on-again, off-again relationship with Kimberly Porter from 1994 to 2007, and he adopted her son Quincy during this time. Quincy was born in 1991. Sean and Kimberly had 3 children together, Christian, who was born in 1998, and twin daughters, Dalia Starr and Jesse James Combs, who were born in 2006. I feel like they've all been pretty low-key because they're not celebrities, right?
Well, I think the sons are like the older sons. I've seen kids them, are still little, but yeah.
Kim died from pneumonia in November 2018. 5 months before the twins were born, Sean had a baby with a woman named Sarah Chapman, and their daughter is named Chance. Sean took legal responsibility for Chance in October 2007. And from 2007 to 2018, Sean was in a relationship with Cassie Ventura, and they had no children together. But she will end up being kind of the start to all of this, to all of the accusations coming forward. Clearly, she dated him for a long time and from what seems like went through a lot of abuse with him. But then Sean's 7th child is a daughter named Love. Sean, is that his name? His 7th child is a daughter named Love, Sean Combs. She was born in December 2022, and her mother is Dana Tran. So he just used his names for his last daughter. All right, so that is the relevant background information. I felt like it was important to show how he rose up from poverty, like Olivia was just saying, how he is very powerful. He does have a lot of money, and he's clearly well-connected to a lot of powerful people, because I think that does come into play here, and that's something important to remember when you hear about a lot of these accusations, is that he had a lot of power and was an intimidating person. So on to his legal issues. We're going to start back in 1997. Sean was sued for landlord neglect, and he denied the charges. Then April 1999, Sean and 2 others broke into the office of Nas's former manager, Steve Stout, and attacked him. Sean was sued by Steve, and they settled out of court. Sean pleaded guilty to harassment and had to complete a 1-day anger management class. Seemed to do wonders for him. In December 1999, Sean and J-Lo, they were dating at the time, were at Club New York in Manhattan with rapper Shine when gunfire broke out. The shots were allegedly fired after an argument between Sean and another patron. Sean and Shine, there's like Sean, Shine, Steve. Sean and Shine were arrested for weapons violations and other charges. The case went to trial and Sean was found not guilty on all charges. Shine was convicted on 5 charges and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. J-Lo and Sean broke up shortly after this event, and they dated for around 2 years. So interesting that Diddy, Sean, didn't get in any trouble.
I know. He seems to have dodged a lot of the trouble over the years.
Yeah, and I feel like all of the trouble that he's dodged because of how much money he has, it seems like he paid off a lot of people and a lot of things. Yeah. I feel like that only like fed his ego into thinking he could get away with anything. So in 2001, Sean was arrested in Florida for driving with a suspended license. And in 2003, it was alleged that the factories producing Sean John clothing brand were violating Honduran labor laws. It was said that the workers were being searched illegally and were subjected to involuntary pregnancy tests. Bathroom access was tightly controlled and the facilities were locked so that people had to request access. Employees were forced to do overtime and were paid a pittance. Sean launched an extensive investigation and said, "I'm as pro-worker as they get." As a result of the investigation, air conditioning and water purification systems were installed in the factories, supervisors were fired, and the employees were allowed to form a labor union. One of the few moments in all of this where I was like, good for him.
Yeah, I guess he should have probably done that from the start. But yeah, that was, yeah, I agree. One of the only, you know, I don't know what the word is, redeeming things that he's done.
In 2005, Michigan television personality Rogelio Mills filed an assault charge against Sean. The issue was resolved in Sean's favor.
Again, surprise, surprise, yeah.
In 2005, British DJ Richard Dearlove sought an injunction against Sean over the use of the name Diddy. Richard had been using the name since 1992, 9 years before Sean started using it. Richard accepted an out-of-court settlement, and Sean cannot use the name Diddy in the UK, so there he is known as P. Diddy.
I would love to know but how again, much he's paid out over the years, because yes, there's so many settlements where they're like, you know, an out-of-court settlement and no
so
figure.
So many.
I would love to know the total figure that he's paid out over the years.
And I know he said like his net worth more recently is like $1 billion, but with all of his investments and all the things, he's just making money constantly. He doesn't even have to do anything. He's making money, a lot of money. 2007, Sean was sued by Gerard Reichnitzer after it was claimed that he was punched outside a Hollywood nightclub. Sean settled the lawsuit for undisclosed terms in 2008. So another one.
I've read that Sean apparently went up to him, Gerard went up to Sean while Sean was with a girl and started talking to him, and Sean punched him, basically. I don't know, felt threatened or something like that, it sounds like.
In 2009, the LA Times made claims that Biggie and Sean orchestrated the robbery and murder of Tupac in 1994. They later retracted the story, saying the documents that they had shared were fabricated. Why'd they retract the story?
And that still kind of goes on to this day. People are still commenting, like, will there be charges laid for Tupac? Like, a lot of people still do believe that he's involved in that.
Yeah, just interesting how many things seem to go in his favor.
Mm.
In 2015, he was arrested and charged with aggravated assault after he had a fight with his son's football coach. The charges were dropped due to lack of evidence. In 2017, Cindy Ruda, a former employee of Sean's, filed a lawsuit which claimed sexual harassment and retaliation. The lawsuit was settled for an undisclosed amount in February 2019. In 2021, Sean filed a $60 million lawsuit against the new owners of Sean John. He said the company had used his image without permission and that they had made up quotes that were not from him. He also filed a racial discrimination suit against Diageo in 2023. He withdrew the lawsuit with prejudice in 2024, though. So this is kind of where all the newest information seemed to start. Like, there'd always been rumors and gossip about his abuse. Like, no, Aubrey O'Day, who was in Dandy Kane, specifically would allude to it just off the top of my head. And for those who don't know, just like background, because again, it's kind of relevant. Dandy Kane was formed by Diddy. They were pretty popular when they first started. They were on Making the Band, which was something that Diddy was part of. Basically, Diddy formed them and they were signed to Bad Boy Records. And he was kind of their, not like boss, but mentor maybe.
You want to show all your skin. You want to be naked. But the whole concept of Dandy Kane was like, when it comes together, it's one.
Puff's going hard on the group, and then all of a sudden he singles me out and starts going on and on about how unhappy he is with me. And I just feel like nothing that I do, he's ever happy with.
Can I ask a question? What do you want to look like, though? Do you want to look like a playboy, playmate? Do you want to look like you?
I'm done with all of that.
No. Like, what do you want to look like, though?
I'll tell you. I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on what this group should look like and how I should fit in this situation.
You like big hair, though.
I don't like big hair.
You like big hair.
You need to stop with generalizations about me. Actually, I don't. I don't like big hair. I don't like certain makeup. I'm very flexible with what you want to do, and I've worked with everything that you've thrown at me.
I'm not seeing the flexibility. You gaming me.
Your hair people came in today, and they said this is how it needs to be.
You know what I'm talking about. You're pushing your own image, though.
I'm not worried about whether my hair is straight, curly, whatever. I'm not here in a group to have curly, straight, big makeup, whatever. I'm here in a group to sing with my group, and that is all I care about. For real, like, maybe you just don't get me.
You're gaming me, because if I pulled in all of the makeup artists and all of the hair people, they would not say that.
And I make an honest.
I don't want you to look like Pamela Anderson.
I don't want to sign Pamela Anderson. Well, I want to look like Aubrey O'Day.
That's in the direction. Well, you don't look like her. You don't look like that girl that I signed.
You know who Aubrey is. Puff, it's 3 years later.
It's 3 years later, and you're going in the wrong direction.
Okay, well,
you're going in the wrong direction.
What it is you
need to stop the
truck pullover. I'm not changing nothing.
Okay, well, you wanted the weave out, the weave out.
I just want you to look good.
If you're not happy, you hate me, then why are you having me here?
I don't have to have you here. That's one thing that we can make clear. That's one thing we can make clear. I don't have to have you here. I'm trying.
Why do you have me here? Because every time it's just such a problem.
I have you here because I feel you're talented. But don't get it twisted. I'm starting to think about why do I have you here?
I'm not getting it.
Okay, so you're clear on that, though. Check this out. You're clear on that. You understand now. I'm asking myself, why do I have you here? So I'll move on to something else. I'll give you the answer soon. All right? And you may not be here then.
Okay, before it gets to
and
that.
Anybody want to go with you, they could go too.
So, and there's other, as we go on, there's allegations involved from one of the other girls from Danny Kane as well. So it seemed like they were aware of what was going on for a while.
It has been a long journey to get here. She did not want to hide. Why should she hide her head in shame? She has not done anything wrong.
Dawn Richard had once been on top of the world. She was a rising star and a member of the popular girl group Danity Kane with hits like Showstopper. This is for my ladies in the 280s Mercedes. And Damage. Reaching the top 10 on the Billboard charts in the early 2000s, their mentor, none other than one of the most influential figures in American music, Sean Diddy Combs.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all did a great job today, ladies.
Today, Richard is back in the spotlight. In a damning new lawsuit, she's accusing her former mentor of sexual battery, forced labor, and gender-motivated violence.
These are all allegations that have become shockingly familiar against Diddy in recent months, as he has faced lawsuit after lawsuit from women and men who have accused him of all manner of bad behavior.
Richard also claims she witnessed him abusing his former girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura, better known as Cassie, on numerous occasions. Attorney Lisa Bloom is representing Richard.
Dawn had the choice to file the case as a Jane Doe, and she chose not to do that. After giving it a fair amount of thought, she wants accountability. She wants justice.
An attorney for Combs tells Nightline, quote, in an attempt to rewrite history, Dawn Richard has now manufactured a series of false claims, all in the hopes of trying to get a payday, adding, quote, it's unfortunate that Miss Richard has cast their 20-year friendship aside to try and get money from him. But Mr. Combs is confidently standing on truth and looks forward to proving that in court.
This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's FORHERS.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
So anyways, Cassie Ventura, she was the one who had dated Diddy for a long time. She is also an American singer, dancer, actress, model. Most people would know who she is because she had her debut single in 2006, Me and You, was a very popular song. So she filed a lawsuit against him on November 16th, 2023. She accused him of rape, sex trafficking, and physical abuse. The lawsuit also alleged that he had blown up the car of Kid Cudi in 2012, who was Cassie's then partner. She also alleged that she had endured over a decade of his violent behavior and disturbed demands, including repeated beatings and forcing her to engage in sex acts with male sex workers. According to the complaint, after she attempted to separate herself from him in 2018, Sean allegedly forced her into her home and raped her while she repeatedly said no and tried to push him away. She claimed that she suffered episodes of horrific abuse during their relationship, including times when he would allegedly fly into an uncontrollable rage and beat Ms. Ventura savagely. Sean and Cassie reached a settlement the day after she filed the lawsuit and it was dismissed. Cassie said in a statement issued by her attorney, "I've decided to resolve this matter amicably on terms that I have some level of control. I want to thank my family, fans, and lawyers for their unwavering support." Her attorney also claimed that Sean offered Cassie eight figures to prevent her from filing the lawsuit, which she rejected. So to me, it seems like she didn't really want to go to court about this. She didn't want his money. She just wanted the information out there that he was a massive piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it also just goes to show that, again, Sean caught wind of this and is offering her eight figures to not file it, because filing it is what makes it go public.
Yeah.
So Sean responded with a statement, "We've decided to resolve this matter amicably. I wish Cassie and her family all the best. Love." Two further lawsuits were then filed against Sean in November 2023. These were made by two complainants who alleged sexual assault and revenge porn. One of the lawsuits claimed that Sean and singer Aaron Hall had sexually abused a woman in the early 1990s. Sean is alleged to have recorded the assault. This info is from The Independent about that. It says, the suit alleges that Combs and Hall invited the woman to Hall's apartment for an after party where the plaintiff was offered more drinks and was coerced into having sex with Combs and was shocked and traumatized afterwards, before Hall barged into the room, pinned her down, and forced Jane Doe to have sex with him. In November 2023, Sean stepped down as Revolt's chairman. In December 2023, a Jane Doe alleged that she was sex trafficked and gang raped by Sean. This alleged incident is said to have happened in 2003 when the person was 17 years old. At this time, Sean decided to release a statement on all the allegations. He wrote, "Enough is enough. For the last couple of weeks, I have sat silently and watched people try to assassinate my character, destroy my reputation, and my legacy. Sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for a quick payday. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things being alleged. I will fight for my name, my family, and for the truth." Which in hindsight, to me, and again, I know all this is alleged, but I believe a lot of the stuff that's being said is true, because very similar stories are coming out from a lot of different people. And even if the worst of it, say, isn't true, even the less horrible things are still horrible. And to make a statement like this, knowing what you fucking did, shows he's a psychopath to me.
Yeah.
And he couldn't just go without saying anything. Instead, he had to make a statement like this.
He was still so arrogant and cocky at that time that he was going to be able to probably keep paying people off and keep settling these lawsuits, that he made this statement.
Because he really thought he was untouchable, because for a long time, it seems like he was. He got away with so many things by just paying people off. Hulu had plans to make a reality show around Sean's life. It was going to be called Diddy Plus 7, and the project was scrapped by the production company in December 2023.
Before all this happened, I probably would have watched that show. Like, now I wouldn't. Like, obviously, they've scrapped it for a reason. But before, you know, all of these crimes come out, it probably would have been quite an interesting show about his kids and his life.
Really, yeah. I'm the opposite, because I'm like, I would have never wanted to watch that.
I probably would have watched it. Like, obviously not now that we know what a horrible, horrific person he is, but back in the heyday, I would have been interested.
Yeah, I just, even before all this, I was never a big, like, Diddy fan. Like, I just didn't know much, not that I didn't know much about him. Obviously, I knew his music and all that, but I just don't care about his life. In February 2024, music producer Rodney Lil Rod Jones filed a lawsuit against Sean and his son Justin. The lawsuit alleged that they engaged in a massive cover-up of their involvement in the shooting of a 30-year-old man at a writers and producers camp that was held at Sean's Chalice recording studio in LA in September 2022. So this info about the incident is from NBC. The original complaint includes Jones's account that he heard multiple gunshots after a heated conversation in a nearby bathroom. When the bathroom door opened, Combs and his son walked out, and Jones found G lying on the restroom floor in a fetal position, holding his stomach and bleeding out of his leg hip area. Lil Rod has said that Sean sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him from September 2022 to November 2023. The suit also alleges that Sean is part of a RICO enterprise and that he and others are involved in a sex trafficking venture. And a RICO enterprise is one in which people or groups act together to violate the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, which is meant to target organized crime. Lil Rod has accused a man named Brendan Paul of being Sean's drug mule in court documents. Brendan was arrested in March 2024 on charges of cocaine and controlled substance possession.
It's kind of interesting because obviously that was filed last year. The Lil Rod lawsuit was filed earlier this year. And then after that, that's when Brendan Paul was arrested. So, you know, it kind of shows that there was this investigation ongoing. And I also find that this lawsuit is interesting because it's current. Like Lil Rod is saying that Sean did these to him in September 2022 and November 2023. So a lot of the lawsuits that have come forward are a little bit more historic. Like they're saying it happened in the early 2000s or even earlier. So that is a very current one.
Yeah. So you can't even just be like, I'm a changed man. No, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I made mistakes when I was young. This is still happening as of last year.
Yeah. On March 25th, 2024, Sean's homes in LA and Miami were raided by federal agents. The Homeland Security raids were reportedly done in connection with an ongoing federal sex trafficking investigation. The Department of Homeland Security said in a statement, Homeland Security Investigations New York executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from HSI Los Angeles, HSI Miami, and our local law enforcement partners. We'll provide further information as it becomes available. So Sean's attorney, Aaron Dyer, spoke out after the raids about the gross overuse of military-level force, and he said that there was a witch hunt against Sean. He said, there was a gross overuse of military-level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There's no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities.
At the time when the houses were being raided, there was a whole bunch of images and footage, and like some of the kids were there at the houses. And like, I remember we spoke about at the time how terrifying it would have been for these like men with battering rams and, you know, things to be breaking into the houses, and that we hoped the little kids weren't involved. But like it did seem like a massive operation at the time.
Yeah, I remember. It was crazy. But thinking back on it now, you really don't know what he could have had in any of his residences with all this stuff that's come out. The attorney said that Sean and his family had not been arrested and were allowed to travel as they please even after the raids. It's the smugness that annoys me with all these comments. His attorney said there's been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. In May 2024, CNN released footage of Sean physically assaulting Cassie at the Intercontinental Hotel in Century City, LA in March 2016. So a lot of people have wondered how this came out. I still don't know exactly how it was released, because I did see recently, just before we started recording, that it turns out that he was at the time confronted by the hotel about the footage.
And he tried to pay them off. Yeah.
Yeah. And he basically tried to pay off the security guards to pay them to delete the footage or to get rid of the footage or whatever. Apparently the security guards and whoever didn't take the money, but he ended up telling his team to handle it and get the footage. And the footage was never seen again. The incident was never spoken about until 2024, all these years later.
The footage is in a public area of the hotel. Like, doesn't she go out into like the hallway? Yeah, like the elevator.
She's waiting for the elevator. Clearly, and I've seen since it's been said that we haven't gotten into the freak-offs, but I'm assuming that people have heard about the freak-offs by now. It was like where a lot of this abuse happened, like these fucked up sex parties that he would throw. And a lot of the times the girls would be drugged or it'd be kind of against their will, or they didn't give consent to this, clearly. I've read that this was during a freak-off, which makes it even sadder to me because she was like trying to escape sexual abuse and abuse and whatever was going on in the room. So you see her like sneaking out with her stuff. She's waiting for the elevator. And then you, of course, see Diddy running out in a towel and he just grabs her and throws her on the ground and literally starts like beating the shit out of her and then drags her away.
The footage is very graphic and very shocking if you haven't seen it. Like, it's not just like, oh yeah, he seems like a bit of a dick. He physically brutally assaulted her in the footage. Like, yeah, absolutely beat her. It's horrible.
He's full on like punching her, kicking her. Then I can't remember because I haven't watched it for a bit because I saw it once. I don't need to see it again because that's how like messed up it is. I don't remember if he like grabs her by her hair or like by her hood and literally just drags her away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. And that's what's sick to me is that's what he's willing to do in a public area. Someone could have walked by at any moment. Granted, it's not like a busy hotel hallway, but still an open public area. There's other rooms nearby. So I can only imagine what he was willing to do like in his own home, in the privacy of a room, just not out in public, if that's what he was willing to do in public.
Yeah.
So 2 days after the footage was made, he issued a public apology on Facebook and Instagram, and I'll put in the clip of that. But, you know, of course, it's like, I'm so ashamed, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you're not.
To reflect on the darkest times in your life, sometimes you got to do that. I was fucked up. I mean, I hit rock bottom, but I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted. I was disgusted then when I did it. I'm disgusted now. I went and I sought out professional help. I had to go into therapy and go into rehab. Had to ask God for his mercy and grace. I'm so sorry. But I'm committed to be a better man each and every day.
This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
All right. So there were some questions after the footage came out if he could be charged with anything. The Los Angeles County District Attorney explained that he basically couldn't be prosecuted. The statement read, "We find the images extremely disturbing and difficult to watch. If the conduct depicted occurred in 2016, unfortunately, we'd be unable to charge it if the conduct would have occurred beyond the timeline where a crime of the assault can be prosecuted." So basically, statute of limitations, it's too much time has passed. You can't be charged with anything.
Mm-hmm.
On May 10, 2024, Sean asked a judge to dismiss the Jane Doe rape claim that we mentioned earlier. He basically went on to say that it's decades old. The plaintiff cannot allege what day or time of the year the incident occurred, but miraculously remembers other salacious details despite her alleged incapacitated condition. So he's moving to get some of these lawsuits dismissed.
I think that's a gross thing to say. Sorry, like, I'm going to take issue with so many of these things. That's such a gross thing to say, because if something traumatic ever happened to you in your life, of course you remember the details of the trauma and what happened, but could I tell you exactly what date it was, what hour it was, things like that? No, but of course you're going to remember the incident itself and the details of the incident and how scary it was for you. But oh, just because someone can't remember the date or the time, like, fuck off.
And even the terminology, like, miraculously remembers, it's just, yeah, it's condescending and unnecessary. The filing also asked that that case be dismissed now with prejudice to prevent any more reputational injury to Sean and waste of judicial resources.
That's so annoying.
I know. And it's like, one thing I want to kind of preface in this is that there are so many lawsuits that have now been filed against Sean. We've picked out the main ones. I've tried to pick out as much information
and
as
more come out every day.
I know, more come out every single day, but there are so many.
Mm-hmm.
On May 21st this year, former model Crystal McKinney accused Sean of sexual assault in a lawsuit. She alleged that he had forced her to perform oral sex on him in the bathroom of a recording studio in 2003. Crystal also claimed that she was given alcohol and marijuana that she later believed was laced with, quote, a narcotic or other intoxicating substance. She said after the assault was over, she awakened in shock to find herself in a taxi leaving the scene. As defendants in that lawsuit, Sean was named, as well as Bad Boy Records, its parent company Universal Music Group, and Sean's clothing company Sean John, all of which Crystal says enabled the alleged assault by actively maintaining and employing Sean in a position of power, despite the fact that they allegedly knew or should have known that he posed a risk of sexual assault. So she's going after some big guns in that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
A woman named April Lampros claimed days after Crystal's lawsuit was filed that Sean had also sexually assaulted her multiple times between 1995 and the early 2000s. This is a quote from an article. It says, after meeting her at a bar in New York, she succumbed to pressure to drink alcohol after delusional and violent outbursts. April claimed she began to feel like the walls were closing in on her after sipping a drink, and Sean escorted her back to her hotel. The lawsuit alleged Sean forced himself on April. It says Ms. Lampros was being raped by Mr. Combs and she soon passed out. Sean allegedly then love-bombed her, and his advances later manifested into an aggressive, coercive, and abusive relationship based on sex. The lawsuit claims Sean assaulted April a second time by physically forcing her to perform oral sex in a garage near his apartment in Manhattan. When April tried to get out of the situation, he allegedly gave her gifts and empty promises before turning angry, threatening, and forceful, and he claimed he would destroy her career. April has said that Sean sexually assaulted her in 1996 when he forced her and Kim Porter, who was his wife, who's now his partner, who, sorry, has now passed away, to take ecstasy and have sex together. Sean apparently masturbated while he watched them before assaulting April. April has said that she ended her relationship with Sean 2 years later. However, she saw him again in the early 2000s and he begged to see her again. She allowed him to come to her apartment where he kissed and touched her against her will. In 2023, April alleged an unidentified man approached her partner at the time and said that he'd seen a video of Sean and her from years earlier. April was informed that Sean apparently recorded them having sex without her knowing and showed it to multiple people. Another lawsuit is from a man named Derek Lee Cardello Smith. He alleged that Sean drugged and sexually abused him at a party 30 years ago. The lawsuit claims that Sean and Derek met while he was working at a Detroit area restaurant in around 1997. During a night of drinking and weed smoking, they reportedly had sex with a group of women. Derek has said that he felt a man's hand, which he claims was Sean, and it was touching him. The suit also alleges that Sean served him a spiked drink that caused him to pass out. When he woke up, Sean was having sex with the woman and he said to Derek, I did this to you too. So again, this is kind of going along the lines of every single story is basically the same. It involves drugging people till they pass out, spiking drinks and things along those lines.
And then threatening and intimidating them, yep, basically to stay quiet or to do what he wants.
So Sean's attorney disputed the judgment and Derek's account. It says the man is a convicted felon and sexual predator who has been sentenced on 14 counts of sexual assault and kidnapping over the last 26 years. Sean has moved to have this suit dismissed. Derek has alleged that Sean visited him in prison and offered him $2.3 million to dismiss the lawsuit, but Derek rejected the offer. In September this year, Derek was awarded a $100 million default judgment after Sean failed to appear for a virtual hearing. I guess he had a lot of other things going on, but he basically didn't show up. So Derek was awarded $100 million.
Must be happy he didn't take that $2 million now.
A county circuit court judge set up a payment schedule of $10 million a month for Sean, and that was due to start on October 1. I'm not sure if it did happen because, as we said, Sean was trying to get that suit dismissed, but apparently it was meant to start on October 1. So in September 2024, Sean was arrested and charged with racketeering, sex trafficking by force, and transportation for the purposes of prostitution. He was arrested at 8:30 a.m. on Monday, September 16th at the Park Hyatt Hotel in New York.
This morning, watch how federal agents took Sean Diddy Combs into custody. He's seen in this video entering the Park Hyatt Hotel in Midtown Manhattan with others when agents from Homeland Security Investigations approach and separate him. They place Combs under arrest and lead him out the front door in handcuffs. His lawyer said Combs had come to New York 2 weeks earlier with the intention of turning himself in. He did not expect the agents to be waiting at his hotel last Monday night.
Why doesn't the government want him to turn himself in? Because then they can't ask for detention. So they go and they arrest him. They arrest a guy who came to New York to turn himself in.
1, 2, 3.
A day earlier, Combs seen out and about in New York with his family, seemingly in good spirits. Combs has pleaded not guilty to racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking, and prostitution charges.
And the U.S. Attorney's Office released this statement. It's quite long, so I'll just read parts of it. The whole thing is on the blog, but it says that basically all these government agencies, including the Field Office of Homeland Security, announced that Sean, lists all his aliases, was arrested last night and charged in a 3-count indictment with racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prosecution. They had an indictment which was unsealed and alleged that between 2008 and today, Sean abused, threatened, and coerced women and others, and he led a racketeering conspiracy that engaged in trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction of justice, amongst other crimes. The U.S. attorney, Damian Williams, said, as alleged in the indictment, Sean Combs used the business empire he controlled to sexually abuse and exploit women, as well as to commit other acts of violence and obstruction of justice. Today, he is charged with, and it lists all the charges. If you have been a victim of his abuse or if you know anything about his crimes, we urge you to come forward. The statement goes on that with Sean led a criminal enterprise that existed to facilitate his abuse and exploitation of women, to protect his reputation and to conceal his conduct. Sean, along with other members and associates, committed crimes such as sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping. It says that Sean's sexual abuse of women included causing them to engage in frequent days-long sexual activity with male commercial sex workers, some of who were transported over state lines. These events were referred to as freak-offs, where elaborate sex performances that Sean arranged, directed, and often electronically recorded. To ensure participation in freak-offs, Sean used violence and intimidation and leveraged his power over victims, power he obtained through obtaining and distributing narcotics to them, exploiting his financial support to them, and threatening to cut off the same, as well as controlling their careers. He also threatened the victims, including threatening to expose the embarrassing and sensitive recordings he made of the freak-offs if women did not comply with his demands. Goes on to say Sean assaulted women by striking, punching, dragging, throwing objects at them and kicking them. These assaults often resulted in injuries to the victims, which took days or weeks to heal. It says that basically employees of Sean's, including supervisors and security staff, acted as intermediaries for him. They arranged travel and hotel rooms, stocked the hotel rooms for his commercial sex activity. They found the women that he used for these freak-offs.
I wonder if any of them will be charged
as well. Surely there'll be more things coming out. Like, even I know it's absolutely not the same, but with Matthew Perry, like, his assistant was charged for getting him drugs. Surely if these people knew what was going on and were complicit, there will be charges coming for them.
And it's kind of like with Epstein, like, Ghislaine, however you say her name.
Yeah. So the indictment is on the blog if you want to read it. Like, there is a whole lot of legalese jargon in there, and the charges are repeated many times. But if you want to read the documents, they are on the blog. After he was arrested, Sean's attorney issued a statement saying, "We are disappointed with the decision to pursue what we believe is an unjust prosecution of Mr. Combs by the U.S. Attorney's Office." He added that Sean had actually traveled to New York in the week before the arrest because he knew that the charges were coming. And the attorney said, "He is an imperfect person, but he is not a criminal." And I remember at the time there were some comments that he was meant to be arrested on the Tuesday, but they actually brought it forward to the Monday. Do you remember that?
I don't remember specifically.
I tried to find another article, so maybe I read it and then it turned out not to be true. But I did read that and I wondered if it ended up being brought forward because they knew he was planning to flee. And from that side of the country, he could probably get to, you know, an island somewhere, you know, where it would be less easy for them to get him.
It also just kills me how in that statement and in other statements around that time, how he actually came back to New York because he's such an upstanding citizen, and they love to throw in like he's a family man, his children, and all the things that he's done for the Black community and all this. It's like, okay, that's all irrelevant, and you're just trying to make him look like this upstanding citizen, which I get it. That's the way it is, but it's like, shut up.
Yeah. So as Stephanie mentioned earlier, and the document also mentioned freak-offs, this is just a little bit more information about that. It says, during freak-offs, Sean distributed a variety of controlled substances to victims in order to keep them obedient and compliant. He also gave them IV fluids after the freak-offs to help them recover from the physical exertion and drug use, which is insane. I can't – like, and I know it said they were subjected to days-long, you know, basically sexual abuse. It's just insane.
I couldn't even imagine.
When they raided Sean's homes and when he was arrested, they've said in the documents that they found more than 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant, and they also found 784 dildos on sex toys.
Ridiculous.
So there's been a lot of kind of online jokes about the 1,000 bottles of baby oil, but there's a new lawsuit that's been filed and it offers an explanation about why there was that much apparent baby oil in the home. The suit accuses Sean of child sexual assault, and it claims that he laced lotions or other similar body oils with GHB, which is commonly known as the date rape drug. One says that basically he put it in the baby oil so the drug would be absorbed through the victim's skin and make it easier to assault him or
that's
her.
So crazy. Like, yeah. Some people might think like, oh, how is he like forcibly drugging them, because people, you know, have to be suspicious of everything. But if he's literally trying to just entice them, be like, oh, put this on, like, I'll give you a massage, and it's laced with GHB. That is so sick and twisted.
But even 1,000 bottles, what I know. Possibly, like, you know, even if he was doing that, like, I guess if he was having these parties with, you know, dozens and dozens of people, he would go through 1,000 bottles pretty quickly, but that's wild.
Also, 700 dildos.
Yeah.
Clean it up. There will never be a time where you need 700 dildos at the same time. No. Sure, maybe some are different. I'm not even trying to make light of it, but it's just so fucking ridiculous. And that's how you know he's just a psycho, because who even has the room for 700 dildos? Why would you want to have 700 dildos? Why do you want to keep 700 dildos around? That is just guilty to me right there.
I would like, and I know this is just a weird kind of, I guess, morbid curiosity, but I wonder what his house was set up like. Like, where did he keep these things?
Where were they?
I'm sure he had some disgusting sex chamber or something where it was all kept, but I'm maybe it'll all come out in the trial and we'll find out more about, I assume it will, how all these things were found.
Yeah.
So after he was arrested, he applied for bail and he was denied, even though his attorney offered up a $50 million bail package. There's a list of the package, which I'll read out now. Basically, it says that they offered a $50 million bond. It was co-signed by Sean, his mother, his sister, the mother of his oldest daughter, and his three adult sons. It says that they offer his property in Miami, which is valued at $48 million. It says that basically in anticipation of the bail hearing on August 20, he paid off the remaining mortgage of $18 million. So he just paid off his $80 million mortgage so that they could put up the whole $48 million house as collateral for the bond.
Like, the elitism of this kills me.
He also offered up his mother's house in Miami, Florida. They've said that his travel would be restricted to Florida and New York, basically to meet with his lawyers to attend court. They said that he has already given up his passport in April and that he would also give up the passports of his mother and basically all his children. So that is what they proposed, and they still denied it. His attorney said, Sean has never evaded, avoided, eluded, or run from a challenge in his life. He will not start now. As he has handled every hardship, he will meet this case head on and he'll work hard to defend himself and he will prevail. Despite all this, they said no. And he will now remain in prison or jail until the trial next year.
I did see one big reason why they don't want him out of jail is because they have so much evidence of him intimidating witnesses, trying to like pay people off to not partake in the lawsuit. Just they don't want him like fucking with anyone that is involved in the trial or trying to stop any other witnesses from coming forward and things like that.
And another big part of it is that he apparently has this private jet, which he... So I guess that could be a way he could flee the country, but his attorneys were saying that basically he's trying to sell the plane. It says he's entered into a letter of intent with a party to sell it. He understands he's not to travel to LA where the plane is, and further that the plane is not to be brought to any district in which he is located until it is sold. But either way, didn't matter because he got denied.
And I bet that he really, even though it sounds insane, I bet he could still disappear if he wanted to, if he got out.
Absolutely. I feel like... would absolutely not doubt that he was planning to flee before he was arrested, and that's why they brought it forward, if that's what happened.
Yeah.
So even after he's arrested, more and more lawsuits have come out. On September 27th, a 10th lawsuit by an anonymous woman was filed. This suit alleged that Sean abused her for 4 years. It says that she woke up one night badly injured after blacking out the night before. She had no memory of what happened. She said that she met him in 2020. So this is another current one. A lot of the ones that we've spoken about are historic. This is another current one. She said that he paid for her to travel, and after the two began seeing each other regularly, they met up roughly once a month, and Sean would often drug her against her will and then sexually abuse her. She said one morning she woke up and her feet were purple and bruised and she had a bite mark on her heel. She did not know how she sustained the injuries. And this woman later learned that she had apparently been dosed with ketamine.
And that one specifically shows a good point, or it just reminds me of a point to make that... just because I know there's so many victim blamers out there, especially, you know, he's Diddy. Obviously, he has fans that are defending him and hate women and all that. There's so many people are like, how did you get yourself into this situation? Or why didn't you leave? Like, how did this happen to you? Somehow being like, oh, it's clearly this dumb woman's fault. But it doesn't start out as abuse. It starts out as him paying for these trips, like flying her out to see him, enticing her into the circle, gaining her trust with all these... love bombing and lavish gifts.
Just about to say love bombing. He basically, like, imagine if Diddy wants to fly you some, obviously before we knew what he was like, but imagine if any celebrity wants to fly you somewhere and, you know, will pay for you to travel first class and, you know, gives you all these amazing things and opportunities, you know, of course you're going to take it up.
Yeah.
So this month is now October 2024. There's still been a ton of legal action. There was an article from Variety on October 2nd, and it alleged that Sean will be facing an additional 120 sexual assault lawsuits that would be filed in multiple cities over the coming weeks. The attorney spoke to the Washington Post, the one who's kind of in charge of the group of lawyers who are in charge of these lawsuits. His name's Tony Busby. He said the biggest secret in the entertainment industry that really wasn't a secret has finally been revealed to the world. The wall of silence has now been broken. So in terms of those 120 lawsuits, they said the victims are equally male and female, and they range from the ages of 9 to 38 at the time of the incidents.
Ugh, I just got chill.
25 of these victims were minors at the time of the acts, and some of them have spoken with the FBI. The assaults span 30 years, dating back to the early 90s and up until this year, so 2024, still going on. Half of the victims filed police reports and half of them sought medical attention. The majority state that they were drugged and that horse tranquilizer, which is ketamine, was found in several drug tests. Attorneys claim that they received more than 3,000 responses after issuing a call to victims to come forward, which they vetted and whittled down to 120 credible cases. So he must have so many attorneys, because every statement I see is from a different attorney.
Yeah.
This is from a female attorney, Erica Wolf. It says, as his legal team has emphasized, he cannot address every meritless allegation in what has become a reckless media circus. He emphatically denies as false any claim that he sexually abused anyone, including minors. He looks forward to proving his innocence and vindicating himself in court, where the truth will be established based on evidence, not speculation.
I get that this is the job of these attorneys, like defense attorneys, whatever, but this is a case that I think you're a scumbag, especially as a woman.
Yeah. And I wonder if the woman has been specifically brought on, because up until now, I haven't looked into his legal counsel history totally, but every other statement I've seen is from a male. So I wonder if they've specifically brought a woman on
to try to appeal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so messed up.
We're recording on October 17. On October 14, at least 6 new lawsuits were filed against Sean. These lawsuits accuse him of raping women, sexually assaulting men, and also molesting a 16-year-old boy. This information is from NPR. It says one of the John Does alleges that Sean fondled his genitals when he was 16 as one of his famous white parties. So you've probably seen photos from his white parties. Basically, everyone wears white. It's very Kanye-esque. You know, they have a big white party. The man says that during a conversation about possibly breaking into the music industry, Sean ordered the man, who was then a teenager, to drop his pants. According to the lawsuit, Sean explained to him it was a rite of passage and said, "Don't you want to break into the business?" One of the new Jane Does who is suing Sean alleges that he raped her in a locked hotel room in 2004 after he invited her and a friend there for a party, gave them drinks, and told them to snort cocaine. The woman, who was then in college, said that Sean forced her friend to perform oral sex and said he would have both of them killed if they didn't comply with his demands. The other Jane Doe alleges Sean violently attacked and raped her in a bathroom in 2005 at a party for the late rapper Biggie Smalls' One More Chance. According to the woman, Sean brought her into the bathroom to talk privately and then started kissing her. When she tried to pull away, he slammed her head against the wall and caused her to fall to the floor. The woman has said that she tried to escape, but Sean hit her and raped her. After the woman was getting up, Sean adjusted his clothing and said, "You better not tell anyone about this or you will disappear." In another lawsuit, which is via John Doe, a man who was working as a security guard at Sean's white party in 2006 alleges the star gave him an alcoholic beverage he believes that was laced and it made him feel ill. The man alleges that Sean pushed him into a van, held him down, and sexually assaulted him. He's also accused of forcing a man to perform oral sex on him in the stockroom of a Macy's store in Manhattan and sexually assaulting a man at a party in October 2021. The man from 2021 says that he suspects his beverage was drugged and he wasn't able to fight back. He said he recalls multiple men assaulting him and distinctly recalls Sean above him naked at one point. So I have no doubt that even by the time this episode comes out, there will be more lawsuits that we know about. But that is kind of it in terms of the lawsuits up to date as of the time of recording. As we mentioned, Sean is being held awaiting trial in federal custody in the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. He has been placed under suicide watch there. His cellmate, which is interesting, is Sam Bankman-Fried, who is serving a 25-year sentence. Just as some background to him, he was a big kind of cryptocurrency criminal. He was convicted of fraud and related crimes in November last year. He was kind of the poster boy from crypto, and at the peak of his net worth, he was ranked as the 41st richest American. So an interesting pair of them in the jail cell together. There was a court appearance for Sean on October 10, and that was when the trial date was set, and that is now currently set for May 5th, 2025. So around 7 months away, he still has to wait in jail. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for a minute to see what was going on there, but I feel like this is just going to be such a mammoth ongoing case. Up until the trial even, there will be many, many more lawsuits that come out against him. This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Someone clearly still has access to his Instagram because his last post was 2 days ago where he made a post for his daughter, Love Sean Combs, and it's basically a happy birthday post. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, baby love. Daddy loves you.
I feel like that is like so messed up too.
Yeah.
Because you know people are just going to shit on it and like talk shit about his kid. Like leave her out of this.
And they take – obviously they've turned comments off so no one can comment. But Love Sean has her own Instagram page that says, I love my family, page managed by my mama. 87,000 followers for this toddler.
Oh, God.
I know.
It's just crazy. Yucky.
Like I feel like that post was unnecessary.
Totally.
Mm.
He has so many eyes on him right now. You're going to throw your little daughter out there to the wolves, yeah. Essentially.
Like, look at this cute baby. I would never do anything wrong.
Yeah, and his thinking is like, they'll realize I'm a family man with kids.
His Instagram now has 3 posts. All of them are his daughter's, surprisingly. Not, you know, obviously.
I'd be like, get me off of there.
One is his older daughter, Chance. He wrote in July, my baby girl turned 18 today. I'm so proud of you. And the other one like this. So there's literally 3 posts and each of the posts is about his daughters. So,
yeah. I love that so many people are coming forward now because there's been clearly so many people who have been hurt by him that have probably lived with this for years and were always too afraid to come forward. And, you know, it's something that they probably think about all the time, but they were always afraid to come forward. So it's now it seems like seeing the bravery of other people who have come forward is empowering more and more people to come forward and share their stories. And I hope that they're able to find peace from finally, hopefully getting justice for what they went through. I just really commend all of the victims because it's very scary. Even though they're Jane Doe, John Doe, it's still a really scary thing to do. And as a victim of sexual assault, they definitely have felt ashamed and don't want to be scrutinized by the public, especially, like I said, someone like P. Diddy has tons of fans. This isn't just like a regular rape case where like everyone in your town's going to gossip about it or something. Like this is international, huge news. And it's probably scary to put your business out there to be scrutinized like that and open yourself up to statements from shitty people who are like, well, why didn't you say no? Like, why didn't you leave? Or, well, you wanted that record deal. And why did you wait so long to come forward if this happened in the early 2000s? And I see it a lot with the girls from the Girls Next Door TV show that were Hugh Hefner's girlfriends. Specifically, Holly has spoken out about a lot of the abuse that she went through at the hands of Hugh Hefner and things that she went through at the mansion and how back then she didn't realize how horrible it was. But now as a more mature adult looking back on it, she realizes like
how exploited they were.
Abuse, yeah. And people with them shit on her all the time. It was like, you knew what you signed up for. You did it for the money. Like you deserved it. You knew what you were getting yourself into. And it just makes me sad because I feel like people who haven't gone through anything like that. They don't have any empathy for people in those situations. Like, it's easy logically to say, like, oh, I would fight. I wouldn't give in. I'd be able to defend myself. But sometimes you're scared, and sometimes you feel like the only way you can get out of a situation like that is to be complicit and to give up and to let it happen, and then it'll be over with quickly.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's literally survival to these people. So that's why I think it's so messed up when people say comments like that. And I hope maybe hearing me say something like this, except I think any of our listeners seem to be generally empathetic, nice people, but I just wish that more people would think about these generally young, naive girls and guys who are being taken advantage of by this very powerful, influential man who you've seen time and time again get away with all of the crimes because of how much money he has, paying people off, making the video of Cassie essentially disappear, of him beating the shit out of her. Why wouldn't you believe that he would have you killed or have something horrible happen to you?
Yeah, I feel like if there's someone who you'd believe when they say, if you tell anyone I'm going to kill you, it would be Puff Daddy, Diddy, whatever his name is, because imagine all the money, all the contacts, all, even all the rumors about things that he's done. I would absolutely be terrified.
Yeah, and people who are like victims of sexual assault or even just domestic violence in general, they already blame themselves a lot. And or like, why did I get myself in this situation? I could have done this differently. Why did I let this happen? They're already, as a victim, not confident in themselves. And then when you have someone like Diddy setting you up and essentially blackmailing you, being like, I have video of you doing this, I have video of you doing that, of course they're going to feel weak and small and unable to defend themselves. They don't even know where to turn. Like, who do you look to fight P. Diddy?
Yeah. One other kind of interesting rabbit hole in regards to this case is everyone speculating about who else is involved, and we don't really want to get into it because we don't want to get in trouble, but it will be interesting at the trial. There are so many high-profile celebrities that he is associated with or has been associated with over the years, and a lot of rumors about people who will go down with him. Interesting. Just another – like, if you are into this case, that is a very, very big rabbit hole you can go down.
Yeah. Again, we went over – a lot of it, but there really is so much and so much coming out constantly. By the time I put this out, there will be more. If anything like crazy significant happens, I'll put in a clip. But just note, there's multiple civil lawsuits coming out against Diddy every day that are all very, very similar to each other.
Yeah. One other, just, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the source right in front of me, but I did watch an interview with a legal expert, and they asked, what do you think will happen? Do you think he'll get off? How long do you think he will be in prison for? And that person said, I don't think he will ever, ever be out of prison after this. And based on what seems to be coming out, I would probably also agree with that. I feel like surely, like, maybe if it was one count, you might think, okay, he has a chance to get off, but they just seem to have so much on him. And this investigation has been going on for so long. I would be surprised if in this case, finally, the outcome is in his favor.
And I hope that his recordings that he used to threaten these people and blackmail them came back to bite him in the ass. I hope that he still has them, and I hope that they were found, because what's better proof than having it on video?
Yeah, it's such like a crazy story, really. Like, as we said, he came from poverty. He went, you know, built himself up to be a billionaire, and I guess just so arrogant, so cocky, thought he was so untouchable based on all of that, that he is a horrific human being, probably.
So obviously this is going to be an ongoing thing. Like we said, new stuff coming out all the time. So make sure you're following us on Instagram. We're always posting updates and stuff there. But even for that, it's such like a massive amount of information every day. So if you're really interested in it, there is plenty to go through daily. Maybe we just do as have, a takeaway.
Yeah, so we do have the blog too, just sorry to interrupt, but with the court documents. So if you want to read all the indictment documents, there's videos, there's all that on the blog if you want to read that.
But yeah, so that is it. If there's any major updates, I'll add in clips. The blog will have all this information on it, like Olivia said, at truecrimesocietyblog.com. Instagram, if you want to keep up with this case and all the other ones, we're always posting updates there at True Crime Society. And make sure you check out our Patreon. We're on Patreon. We do weekly bonus episodes, and all the episodes have no ads. They're ad-free, and we release the regular episode a day earlier as well, along with some other things, some chats that we have on Patreon, all that. We ask for like episode suggestions and things on there. So check that out on Patreon. Again, leave us some nice reviews, nice comments, share to your Instagram stories. But thank you guys for listening to this long episode and my rant about everything. We appreciate it. We love you guys. Stay safe out there. Peace out.
See ya.